All right. Well, I guess we should do something.
Yeah, record something.
Okay. Well, it is recording. That's a good thing.
Oh, good. The red light is on.
Why is this so hard?
It's binary. It's binary. It's on off.
195, right? We've done, yeah, 195 of these, and it's still an ordeal. I guess it always is, no matter what you're doing. If you don't have a producer, right?
Oh, yes, this is true. You don't have a producer.
That's the value of a producer, right? They take care of all this stuff. All right, so here we go.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
Today is Sunday, July 2nd, and it's time for episode 195 of the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey.
Hey, just me and you, 2 weeks in a row here.
Yep. Happy pre-July 4th.
Yes, yes. 4th of July is coming up here in a couple of days. It's kind of a big holiday here in the U.S., obviously.
You think?
It's on a well, I mean, we have listeners outside the U.S.
Yeah.
But it's on a Tuesday this year. So a lot of folks are getting a four-day weekend. So that's nice.
Yeah, not everyone, though.
No, not everybody. Yeah. I thought we had reviewed some 4th of July apps in the past, but I couldn't find any in our archives. I tried to find them, look them up, and nothing there.
I'm sure there was an app or crap or something like that.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe we did an app or crap of fireworks on your watch or something in the past. Do you have any plans for fireworks?
Not really. I feel like at 6, like burning money. I watch my neighbors. I don't know. Maybe it's the Asian in me. I can't do it.
Just setting fire to money? Is that what it is?
Exactly. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, we're not doing anything special. I'm going to change my band on my watch to a red, white, and blue nylon band for the day. That's about it. I'll post a photo of that on Facebook or Twitter. Hey, you can send like messages though, right? With the fireworks background now? In messages?
There's some specific keywords that trigger that kind of background, right? Or you can go to the app and select it. Not quite sure. Yeah, like if you automatically type in happy birthday, it'll like do the thing.
Well, I think every message I send that day, I'm just going to make sure that I send fireworks with it. I'll make it as obnoxious as possible.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I mentioned on Facebook and Twitter that I downloaded the public beta of iOS 11.
Right. How'd that go?
Phone and my iPad. Did you do it?
No.
No. Okay. Well, everything's okay so far.
Okay.
Pretty stable release, except for the usual battery draining issues, which I kind of forgot about until I installed it. And then the slow performance that you get with all these beta versions. It feels like the first iPhone. You just like tap and wait. Yeah, my phone was kind of slow anyway, and I probably shouldn't have done this. But
yeah, you put on at 6, right?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done this. Like I said, I put what I put on their hashtag, why did I do this?
So, that was after. Okay.
No, I did that as I was downloading it. Anyway, I'm sorry to report that that kind of ugly, bold font that I don't care for that's in iTunes has now infected a lot of the Apple apps in iOS 11. The podcast app, the App Store have it. And I know I'm a bit of a font snob, but that's kind of what you do when you're a graphic designer, right? I mean, I love typography, especially, really nice typography. And to me, this is not that. It's kind of bold, bland, utilitarian. It's spaced funny for me. It's too loose of a kerning, if you will. It looks like something you'd use if someone complained about something being too thin or not heavy enough, and you replace it with this just kind of out of spite because you know it's an ugly font.
I have never done that as an art director.
No, out of spite. Yeah. I mean, it's because it's such a, blatant choice. Many may disagree with me, but I have to think that Steve Jobs would agree. I mean, he was a huge fan of typography, and it showed in all the technology that he ever released. I think he would have hated this. I think he may have fired the person who did this.
They've always had their own font, though, right? I mean, yeah. Is this a factory font or something like that?
I don't know, but it's just not pretty. I mean, it's just so, yeah. It's so utilitarian. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. Did Johnny do this?
Not sure. It's called, it's San Francisco. That's the font. This is the one that actually like scales. So it is San Francisco. It's the one that they created for everything else with all the different weights.
San Francisco. It's just too bold. It's just
SF Pro, yeah.
It's ugly. I'm sorry. Every time I see it, I'm like, oh. And maybe it's the spacing or something's off. It's just not elegant to me. Mm. But because it's always been kind of cool, the fonts that they use.
Yeah, welcome to the Font Nerd Show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm ranting. But, you know, there's other. In the meantime, they didn't fix certain things that are wrong, at least in my opinion of the UI, like the music app. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, I mentioned this before, if you're listening to a song, and I was hoping they would change this, and you tap on the small section at the bottom with the play button, and up comes like the album art, really big, mm-hmm. and the controls mm-hmm. are now at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. I dare anyone to set that volume slider to about low to medium, and then try to tap the next track arrow. 9 times out of 10, you will hit the slider bar and the music will start blasting loud.
Oh.
Who designed this? It's almost impossible not to hit that volume when you try to hit the next track button. And that's not fixed. It's the same way here in iOS 11. I was sad to see that not changed. But
oh, well, maybe you can give the feedback.
Yeah, maybe.
It is a beta.
It is a beta. You're right. I should do that. Now, yes. One thing I am thrilled about, though, and you'll love this, is the new controls for your AirPods.
Ah.
Yeah. So now you can set the double tap to mm-hmm. advance tracks.
Oh.
Forward and backward.
Thank goodness.
And you can set them separately for each ear. So my left ear will do the previous track, and my right ear will do the next track.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, when you tap it, I'm like, it's not playing the different tracks at the same time.
No. Okay. So if I double tap on the right, it goes to the next track. If I double tap on my left AirPod, it goes to the previous track. I mean, that's just one way you can set it up. You can have them do any, you know, other things, but very cool. So I don't have to open the music app on my watch just to change mm-hmm. a song. That was nice.
I'm hoping that they continue to do that. I mean, the volume control is still a wonky.
Yeah.
Having to kind of tell Siri to do it.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you would think that you could make that a selection that a double tap on either the left or the right, you could set it, would reduce or increase by 10% or whatever, you know, that that might be anyway. I wasn't sure it was going to work. Because you have to set that on the phone. Those settings are in the phone on mm-hmm. iOS 11. And I wasn't sure if it would changes it permanently in the AirPods, but when I went for a run without the phone, it worked fine.
So, that's cool.
Yeah, so it changed it within the AirPods themselves. And you can still have them do Siri or whatever you want. Anyway, speaking of Siri, the new Siri voice is kind of cool too. Deal. I also meant to ask you, have you watched any of the Planet of the Apps episodes?
I have not.
Apple Music?
I'll do that this weekend since I have some time.
Yeah, I've seen four of them now. I think there's four or five of them out. And they are, it's kind of interesting. It's, you know, just like Shark Tank, I know it's not reality TV, but it's somewhat scripted and crafted for effect, if you will, but it's still fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I'm not sure about is the show's, now that I've seen a number of them, the show's emphasis on making it big and getting investors.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that would discourage the smaller app developers who might look at that and think, what chance do I have if I'm up against all of that? I would love to just see them have people pitch their ideas where the ultimate goal is to create a great app, not the next big Snapchat or some other billion-dollar idea.
Well, that's the thing. They tell you, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of mentors and sort of startups, and that's all about if you shoot for the stars, you shoot for IPO, basically.
Yeah.
You shoot for the biggest thing you can get, and then that shows you how far you can get with the app. You never know. You never know whether or not your little, like, dinky kind of, like, I'm just going to make a couple of dollars off of this app is going to be the next big thing.
Well, I'm not spoiling anything, but this is my opinion only. Mm-hmm. But I've seen several apps I think were ruined because they tried to do too much to impress investors. They had just stuck with their original idea, maybe tweaked it a bit. It would have been fine. But
yeah, I spoke to my brother-in-law about this. I mean, in terms of, like, there's this chasm of apps that tried to do too much mm-hmm. and shut down. And so they set out to fix a need, and they did. But, like, they were pushed to even go further, and mm-hmm. they failed.
Yep.
And so that need is still there. That intellectual property is sitting around.
Right.
It's very weird. So you're right.
Yeah, but it's weird because when you watch this show, you'll see that them pitch this idea, and then you'll see them pitch it to the investors mm-hmm. after they've, you know, worked with their advisors.
Yeah.
And they're different. The apps are different. I don't know if they're better. And it's just, I don't know. I have yet to see it get enhanced. I mean, maybe a couple of them got better, but most mm-hmm. of them just got more complicated. And I'm like, couldn't you do that in a phase two? Come on. Anyway, it's interesting to watch anyway. But, you know, maybe we can get them to do a segment of app or crap on their set, right? You can pitch your app or crap on the escalator on the way down. And at the end, they get to vote if it's app or crap. And if you fool them with an app or crap, you get prizes. That'd be a fun show to throw in the mix, right?
Yeah.
It still fits the title of the show, right? Planet of the Apps. So hold on. Let me get Zane Lowe and Tim Cook on the phone just a second. That would be cool. I would love to see that. See what else is going on. Oh, I have to mention Patreon here, of course. Patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. If you'd like to support our show, you can subscribe there for any different amount of money you want per month, but it starts as low as $1 a month. Get some cool stuff from us. You can get a shout out on the show. You can get access to some bonus episodes. We got some cool Apple WatchCast mugs and other sorts of gear. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple WatchCast. And I just want to thank all of our sponsors for becoming patrons of the Apple WatchCast. We couldn't do it without you. Also, I want to thank Joseph Mabarak for making a donation to the Apple WatchCast. We really appreciate that. Thank you, Joseph, and also for supporting the show. And just a reminder here that in addition to becoming a monthly patron through Patreon, we also still have a donation button on our website at applewatchcast.com. If you prefer to support the show that way, it's also available. So thank you all for that.
Thanks, Joseph.
Yes. Anything else before we move on?
Let's get to the news.
Let's get to it. Here we go.
The Apple WatchCast News.
All right, time for the news. First thing here, speaking of AirPods, this was kind of all over the news this week. AirPods could be bigger than the Apple Watch within a few years. This comes from longtime Apple analyst Gene Munster. We've talked about him before. He recently started a venture, speaking of venture capitalists too, venture capitalist fund Loop Ventures. Anyway, Munster says that the AirPods will continue to evolve and eventually deliver augmented audio, which is loosely defined as kind of live audio that is enhanced by other inputs. I guess you can consider it a subset of augmented reality.
Right.
Within a decade, AirPods could be bigger than the Apple Watch in terms of revenue. He estimates that AirPods revenue could equal Apple Watch by 2022, by the year 2022. And he said the average selling price for the AirPods could creep higher to around $200 compared to the current, $160, as Apple adds augmented audio to them. What do you think of that? is, I mean, I think it's a possibility. I don't know if it could eclipse the watch, because the watch is going to continue to get better too, right?
I don't know. I mean, he has a good point. I think he has a really good point. I mean, the thing is, not every iPhone owner is going to get an Apple Watch, correct, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they have headphones. And I don't know whether or not, man, one day if they included these headphones with the iPhone, then yeah, it's going to dominate the market. But
well, but then it wouldn't be pulling in more revenue if they include it.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, yeah, you know, increase the price or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it is, it's going to be very useful. I mean, like you said in the last episode, it's going to be like her, right? I mean, people are going to walk around with these things. It's going to augment the entire experience of where you are. Right. I mean, Apple's moving to the AR thing as well, so that's going to be exciting. I mean, we're going to have contact lenses or some sort of thing that you wear that interacts with the environment. I think that's the one thing. If the Apple Watch does, it interacts with the person that's wearing it. If it starts interacting in terms of sensors around its the ecosystem and supplements through, you know, your senses through the AirPods or through your AR glasses or whatever it is. Yeah, I can see the AirPods being a vital part of that whole kind of sensory augmenting kind of ecosystem that you strap on.
Well, I mean, he's talking 5 years out. That's
it could happen.
That's really hard to predict, though. I mean, go back 5 years, right? You know, right. Who could predict what we're doing now? So,
I mean, I remember what Kurzweil said. It was a singularity. It's getting there.
It's getting, well, okay. Yeah, it might be. but, you know, these devices we're talking about didn't even exist 5 years ago. So yes. Who knows what other devices there might be in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see. But it made a big splash this week talking about that. So we'll keep an eye on that. What else is going on in the world of patents? This is very unusual. Apple was granted a patent relating to sleep onset latency. Wow. Is this something that really, let me explain what it is, and then you tell me if you really think that a patent is necessary for something like this. Back in 2014, Apple hired a sleep research expert, Roy Raymond from Philips, for their Apple Watch team. I think we've talked about this guy before. But he is, I guess, listed as the leading inventor on this patent.
Rayman. I like his name.
Yeah, Rayman.
For lights.
Apple notes that most people require a certain amount of sleep at night to feel well-rested the following day, of course. Often when a person works, the person, you'll set an alarm to wake up to get that appropriate amount of time to sleep, right? 7 to 8 hours, I guess, is the considered amount appropriate. However, most people do not fall asleep right away when they go to bed. So even if the person goes to bed at an appropriate time to provide 8 hours of sleep, they often end up with 6 or 7 hours when the alarm finally goes off in the morning. So Apple's patent, their patent that was, they've been granted this, that a mobile device can adjust an alarm setting based on the sleep onset latency duration detected for a user of the mobile device. For example, sleep onset latency can be the amount of time it takes for the user to fall asleep. After the user attempts to go to sleep, the mobile device can determine when the user intends or attempts to go to sleep based on their sleep ritual activities, which can include everything you do to get ready to go to bed, like brushing your teeth, doing all that kind of stuff, right? It's actually listening for those things. The mobile device can determine when the user is asleep based on sleep signals, biometric data, sounds, etc. In some implementations, the mobile device can determine recurring patterns of long or short sleep onset latency and present suggestions that might help the user sleep better or feel more rested. Is this getting too invasive? That your mobile device is now going to do all this? I mean,
yeah, and they're assuming it's the phone that's doing this, right? I mean, it is freaking ubiquitous.
They say mobile device. That could be a watch
as well. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I've heard of this use case used for cybersecurity. I mean, if you have a device and the phone is in your pocket, for instance, and you're walking around, and it can determine whether or not that's you. I mean, based right. upon the your stride, right? They know that. Whether or not it can even release a high frequency sound to determine what room you're in. You know, if are you sitting in your office or are you in the cafeteria, that kind of thing that you don't hear. So there's a lot of like these devices that are sending out these kind of detection mechanisms. So I the application for determining the sleep onset, it's pretty feasible. I don't know. It's weird.
I know it's feasible. Yeah, it feels weird. It feels, I don't know. That's like
right.
almost too much. That's Hal, right?
Yeah. It's getting there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Hal saying, Dave, you need to go to sleep, Dave. You're not getting enough sleep. I mean, that's a little creepy. I've adjusted your alarm, Dave. You're going to be late in the morning. You need more sleep. It's like, come on, Hal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you're reading that. Is it auto adjust?
Yes.
So
it says,
yeah. I mean, so you're going to get up later?
I don't know. I mean, I understand making suggestions.
Yeah.
For what you can do, but other than saying try to go to bed an hour earlier because it takes an hour to fall asleep. I mean, I don't know.
You wear this you know thing that straps your head and it forces you to go to sleep.
Okay.
It just sucks you to sleep.
Or they just force you to listen to this podcast. That'll put you to sleep. How's that?
That's where the AirPods come in.
Yes, they make you listen to us talking about patents. That'll put anybody to sleep. Okay, let's move on. this next one. This comes to us from, where is this coming to us? This is Stanford, I think. Business Insider. Apple is crushing the Swiss watch industry, and one brand in particular is vulnerable. And I think we've talked a little bit about this, but it's saying that the Apple Watch is bigger than every Swiss watch brand except Rolex, and that Swatch is most vulnerable in this environment. Very interesting. This is from UBS, I think, is the company that put this together. And they're saying that Swatch is most at risk because it leans more heavily towards entry-level products than its peers. And I think we've mentioned that before. You know, Swatch is working on a smartwatch, which is supposed to be out at the end of next year. To me, that sounds way too late to the game. But there's a really nice little chart here that shows the progression here of Apple Watch, its entry into the market, and then it shows, I think it's Fossil, and when they, you know, what's happening with them. So it's interesting. Now, you know, Swiss watchmakers, their products are essentially jewelry, right?
And not all of them.
Well,
The higher end ones.
The higher end ones, mostly.
Yeah.
Basically, what I mean is they are timeless and they can hold emotional value if you give them as a gift. Mm-hmm. A smartwatch, however, let's be honest, can become obsolete. You know, the batteries go dead, they or explode, or pop open.
Right.
You know, there's a limit to the life of these smart devices. No matter what you have, it's going to be left behind at some point. So that makes sense that the higher end market would be doing better than the low end for them. And maybe Swatch is in trouble. And maybe that's why they went after him with the lawsuit too. We talked about it a while back.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I mean, Swatch has got to rejigger their business plan, their business model to accommodate for this. I mean, it's putting some sort of a level of intelligence inside of their like lower end watches might help, but I don't know.
Yeah, and
this is what happens.
And now I'm starting to see how smart it was for Tim Cook not to release numbers early on with the watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is why he talked about competitors, and at the time it sounded like kind of a BS reason why, right? But it does make sense that they've hidden the true market that Apple is capturing here and sales, which has kind of caught some of these watchmakers a little flat-footed here, right? That's kind of put them behind. If Swatch isn't coming out with anything until the end of next year, Apple will be on its fourth generation of watch at that point. So Apple has this huge lead. And that makes sense. Had Apple started immediately by saying we sold X number of watches, these companies might have gotten on the ball a lot quicker. And the competition would be a lot stronger right now. So now I understand it's coming to fruition, at least. It's part of Tim Cook's approach or strategy when the watch was first released. This is now making a little bit of sense.
There's always this paradigm of releasing numbers. Because as soon as you set precedent and you said X watches were sold, then that becomes the benchmark. And your analysts are all over you for those numbers. So yeah, definitely a way to keep everyone guessing.
Right, and we still are guessing to this day. We assume it's good. Let's see, what else is going on? I've got some interesting updates here to some watch apps. The My Chevrolet, and we got several people who sent us emails about this. So thank you for that. My Chevrolet iPhone app adds Apple Watch support. So this is a big update for their app for the iPhone that brings a bunch of new features and with different supported vehicles, including a new energy awareness feature for the Bolt EV and support for Apple Watch. So with the new Apple Watch support, OnStar customers will now be able to use the device to initiate remote commands for things like locks, remote engine start and stop, and horn and lights. That's interesting. And subscribers will also be able to use Apple Watch to get walking, driving, or transit directions back to the location of their parked vehicle. And this is only in the U.S., it says, that last feature specifically. So Chevy is up in the game here, including Apple Watch. I like that. That's nice.
That's pretty neat. That's pretty innovative.
Yeah. Now that opens it up to a lot of different users then, you know, because this kind of thing was only on the higher end vehicles, right? Tesla and stuff like that.
Right.
But now we're seeing more and more of this, which is nice. Very good.
Yeah, I've been meaning to see if some of my Tesla owner friends have an Apple Watch or been using the features on there, and that'd be kind of neat.
Yeah, I wonder if they're still using them. You know, if they used them initially, or are they still using them? That'd be kind of that'd be nice to know. Because we hear these stories about apps abandoning the Apple Watch. It's nice to hear about ones that are actually coming forward. Speaking of that, this is RLHC, in other words, known as Red Lion Hotel Corporation. They have a Hello Rewards app that they have kind of updated here, and they're going to deploy Apple TVs throughout their hotels for guests. That's going to be pretty interesting. But they're also giving Apple Watches to their valet staff. And it's so using their Connect Staff app, the valet staff can manage an action car retrieval requests from their Apple Watch without physically being present at the hotel's valet stand.
Red Lions have valets? Well, anyway,
apparently some of them do. They're saying it's convenient for the guests because they don't have to, you know, stand around and wait for the person to show up. Very interesting.
That's a generic app that can be used for pretty much anything. I mean, just a valet, go fetch my car.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. They're also putting like iPad kiosks where you can check in and check out. They've got a digital keys now for the first time so that you can actually check in and check out of the hotel without seeing a single human being.
Right. SPG did that.
So now Red Lion Hotels is doing the same thing. So look for that next time you stay.
And then the last time I was at a hotel, I noticed that they had the alarm clock with the dock for your phone, because that was the biggest fad ever. And then you still has the 30-pin connector. They're still there. So I wasn't sure whether or not it's a good idea to strap like hardware that you know is going to go out of date to your overall strategy of all the different rooms.
Yeah, but it was such a craze because that's the same connector that goes all the way back to the iPod.
Right.
So, you know, and the iPod was huge. And then when the phone came out, using the same thing.
Yeah.
Or iPads as well for a while. Right. Until we went to Lightning, that was all the craze. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just haven't replaced them now.
Right. And that's tough.
Pretty soon it'll be wireless, so it won't matter. Wireless right. charging and music and everything else. Yes. Were you affected at all by that? Not many people were, but apparently iCloud kind of went down this past week for a while, a few days.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I did not experience it, but apparently Apple device owners were unable to restore from backups because there was an iCloud outage. It was an unspecified service outage. Now, they say it affected a small percentage of Apple customers, but when you've got that many customers, you're still talking about a few hundred thousand people that were probably affected by this. It was down on Tuesday in the morning, and it didn't go back. They didn't resolve the issue until Thursday. So that's two full days that some people were out of contact with their iCloud backups.
Wow, that basically means that you should probably have what they call perfect backup. Is that a local copy?
Yes. Yes, because there you go, no access. Mm-hmm. So imagine if you were, like, let's say, buying a new iPhone.
Yeah.
And you're in the store and you're trying to set up the new phone and you were hit by this, no dice, you couldn't do it.
Yeah, I suggest doing that. I mean, do a backup copy onto your laptop and then also continue the iCloud backup when you're transferring phones.
Right.
Just to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and people forget that. It's so easy now to just turn on iCloud backup and then ignore it. It's like, okay, I'm done. I'm backed up. I feel secure. Well, where you're backing up to can go down too. I mean, they're usually pretty reliable, but this does happen from time to time.
So it was a sunny day, not an iCloud day.
No. Not an iCloudy day? So what's the weather forecast? Partly iCloudy?
partly
because only part of it was working. Yeah,
that's right.
Let's see what else is going on. Oh, this is cool. Apple's got another challenge out. Apple is supporting national parks next month with Apple Pay donations and a new watch activity challenge. Did you see this? So
yeah,
kind of cool. So from July 1st, which was yesterday, when you listen to this much later, through the 15th of July, Apple is donating $1 to the National Park Foundation for every purchase made with Apple Pay at any Apple store on Apple.com or through the Apple Store app in the U.S. That could add up to a bit of money, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. It has a little tinge of politics here.
A little bit. Here's what Apple's saying. America's national parks are an inspiration to us at Apple, and we know they are as important to many of our customers as they are to us. Our goal is to leave the world better than we found it. So this July, we're making it easier for anyone to help preserve the beauty of our natural, cultural, and historical treasures. Apple said the money raised would be primarily used to support conservation projects and enrich youth programs designed to inspire the next generation of park enthusiasts. Now, for Apple Watch owners, on July 15th only, an Apple Watch owners will get the chance to earn a special activity badge and sticker set for use in iPhone Messages app. And so what you can do, and this is not just US, apparently Apple Watch users around the world can compete in a walk, run, or wheelchair workout of 3.5 miles to earn 5.6 kilometers to earn an award and those stickers for iMessages for national parks. Now, the distance, why they decided to do that, is it matches the length of a hike from Old Faithful to Mallard Lake in Yellowstone National Park. So that's how so you can pretend you're doing that.
Wow.
You may be looking at your neighborhood, but you can pretend that you're walking from Old Faithful to, you know, to Yellowstone.
Have you ever done one of those treadmills that actually have that kind of video? in front of you?
No. I bet it'd be kind of cool.
It is cool. I was at a hotel where they had that.
Really?
Yeah, they had this big screen where it showed you the trail. And as you ran along the trail. It was virtual reality.
It's come a long way. I can imagine at some point you'll be putting on some goggles. Of course, that's not a good idea, I don't think. He probably would fall down and get hurt. Because we'd get so disoriented wearing those goggles, virtual reality goggles, and running on a treadmill. Oh, my goodness. He's waiting to get hurt on that one. So you're going to do this? Going to get this activity challenge?
I will attempt to. But I wanted to bring up something that our Twitter followers mentioned. Why wasn't there a Father's Day one?
Yes. Somebody mentioned, hey, they did Mother's Day and now they're doing parks. What about Father's Day?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. What's the deal, Apple?
Exactly. Yeah. That's just not right.
It is. No, you're right. It's not right. Yeah, that was from, Chad Barker mentioned that on Facebook. Yeah, he said they can do Mother's Day in national parks, but not Father's Day. Yeah, we hear you, Chad. We feel your pain here. I'm just glad Apple's doing more of these. And they're finding interesting ways of doing them. You know, they're combining this one with the Apple Pay thing, which is kind of nice. But I love the look of these stickers. The design is kind of nice on these. Unlike the font in iOS 11, the design on this actually looks good. let's see what else is going on. I hate to talk about these doom and gloom stories, but Fitbit smartwatch project has it's in trouble. They're months away from the debut of their smartwatch, and they now just lost more people who were working on the project. And they're saying they've fallen behind on their app store development. So this is not good for Fitbit. Now, Fitbit, of course, claims that everything's still on track and everything's fine. And of course, they're going to say that. But it's looking like they're struggling pretty hard here to get this product out. And it is kind of a make it or break it product for the company. And why they're doing this, I'm not sure. Why did they decide to go with their own version of this and not just do an Android Wear watch?
You mean like, I see, their own operating system.
Right. Why are they doing this custom system, which is obviously they're struggling to even get done. There's going to be no developer support. There's going to be no apps for it to start with. If they just did an Android Wear, they'd have instantly an entire ecosystem of apps and developers that could start doing stuff for them. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this approach for a struggling company. This makes no sense to me, but...
Yeah, they definitely have to find some niche that they have to, you know, make a beachhead in again. I mean, they were the ones who kind of opened up the market for these fitness wearables. Mm-hmm. And they just have to figure out who are their biggest customers and kind of rebuild that relationship. I don't know. That's a tough one for them.
It is. And it's not the only thing that they're, you know, doing. They're still going to be putting out... those fitness, you know, bands and stuff like that. But this smartwatch is supposed to be the thing that's going to save them. And I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's not the niche they're going for, right? I mean, it's like the smartwatch was not what people bought this thing for in the first place.
Right, right. But
if you're going to buy a smartwatch, you're going to buy an Apple Watch.
But here's the thing. Investors have become skeptical about their prospects. Their shares
It's always the investors. It's always the investors.
Yeah, but their shares are down 55% right. in a year. You know, they bought Pebble a while back. Mm-hmm. And it looks like that did not work out very well because I think a lot of the people that they got with that deal are gone or have left. And then they tried to do a partnership with Spotify that failed. So things are not looking good for Fitbit right now. They've dropped down. They were the number one wearables, right, for a while, and now they're like number three. So, yeah, hard times for Fitbit. See what happens.
We'll see.
Yeah. And then I hate to kind of even mention this one, but we will, just because it's on the list here. It has to do with, just so everybody's aware of what's going on. I hate these, what do you call them, patent trolls? People are familiar with those. They're companies that buy up a big group of patents. They don't make a thing. All they do is buy the legal right to the patents and then sue everybody and any and everybody they can to hope to get some money from it. Okay,
so and they do.
And they do. Most of the time they do. This is another one. This is a one called Unilock. Is attacking Apple again now with a with three different patents that they're accusing them of violation in here. Let's see. It is each of the patents in suit detail methods of monitoring human activity using inertial sensors or accelerometers to track movement over time. So basically, we're talking about stuff specifically for the Apple Watch. But it also, I think, then bleeds into the phone and the iPad because they have accelerometers, gyroscopes, and other sensors as well. They acquired this back in May, and they're already suing. Here we are in July. Now, they didn't say how much they're seeking in damages, but this stuff's got to stop. It's just – all it does is waste money and time.
Yep. There's a really good episode of Silicon Valley all about this.
Yes. did you see the finale?
I have, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I don't want to give anything away, but I love that show. Absolutely love that show. Sad to hear that, what's his name? The actor who plays, I can't think of his name right now, Bachman, is not coming back.
Yeah. And they kind of
set it up that way. To give him an exit, but and probably an appropriate one for him. But
spoiler,
yeah. Huh? Yes,
spoiler.
Well, I didn't say what, so you'll see how they leave it. And I'm sure they would have left it that way whether he was coming back or not. But that's what I heard. He's not returning, unfortunately. Fun show. If you love technology, it's fantastic. I saw a breakdown. I need to find it again. Somebody, you know, the opening. Sequence, the title sequence for the show,
yeah,
which is that kind of stop motion thing of all these different companies in the valley. Right. Did you know that changes?
Yeah.
All the time based on what's going on. And somebody went through and just detailed every little piece of it.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And there's stuff in there I had no idea they put in there. I mean, it's incredible. It's really fun.
Right.
All right. What else is going on? Last thing I want to talk about, this, 10-year anniversary of the iPhone was this past week. Hard to believe, 10 years that the iPhone has been out. But in because of this month being the 10-year anniversary, Scott Forstall, Tony Fadell, and Greg Christie recounted what it took to create the original iPhone, the interface. In a new video that was done with the Wall Street Journal. So they give some backstory on how it was created and how it was done. Very interesting. I recommend you, if you're interested in this at all, it's a really interesting thing to watch and to hear them talk about it. A few things I wasn't aware of, and I've heard most of these stories, that the reason they actually, you know why they created the iPhone?
No.
It was because they were afraid that they were looking at what could cannibalize the iPod.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And the iPod at the time was 50% of Apple sales.
Oh, no kidding.
Does that sound familiar? Yeah.
Wow.
And they realized it was the phone. So they went in and started to work on the phone. And the pressure that Steve Jobs put on these guys is unbelievable. They kept coming back with kind of the UI of it, how it would work. And Steve kept saying, it's not good enough. Mm-hmm. You need something better, to the point of, he said, if you don't start showing me something good soon, I'm going to replace you with other people.
Wow.
He said, you have 2 weeks. So they spent an insane, he said they actually got a hotel room across the street so they wouldn't have to travel to go home. And for 2 weeks, they worked on it until they got it exactly what they thought it would should be. They said it was fantastic. And it left Steve Jobs actually speechless. They showed it to him, and he didn't say a word. All he said was, show it to me again.
Wow.
And he said that our reward for doing well on that demonstration was to kill ourselves for the next 2.5 years to get the phone out. So it's fun. It's really fun to hear the history of these things, because we kind of take it for granted now, right? 10 years later.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. To think back 10 years, I mean, it's weird to think that 11 years ago, it didn't exist.
Right.
It's just very ubiquitous now. And my kids, they're about that age. They do not know life without it.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? That people, I mean, and it's not just the iPhone. I mean, the whole thing just changed all kinds of stuff in what we do. In fact, I've seen articles where people say where they show what the iPhone replaced when it came out.
Right.
It's like a whole list of stuff we just don't deal with anymore because of the iPhone. It is pretty amazing.
It's become an app. Yeah.
I'll put a link in the show notes. You can check out this little video.
Maybe that's worth it. It's going to end up. It's just going to be an app. It's going to be software. I mean, all that hardware stuff that it replaced is going to eventually become a little box on your phone.
Or you won't even need a phone. You just wear your AirPods.
To your AirPods.
And then everything will come through there. I don't know.
There you go.
And your TV. The screen you already have, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else in the news you want to talk about before we move on?
Let's move on.
All right. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast. App reviews.
All right. Time for app reviews. I'll go first here. I have another band to review today. And yes, I do know I have a problem, but it's a fun problem. This one is from Amazon. It's from a company called Top. And I gotta spell it out here. Top and the number 4 CUS. Top Focus. I don't know. That's the name of the company. But it's a 42mm soft silicone band in the Nike style. So it's got the perforated holes all over it. And we know recently Nike came out with a special version of the Nike watch called the Apple Watch Nike Lab that had a white band with black holes. Well, that band's still not available from a third party that I could find. So I ordered this band, which is the opposite. It's a black band with white holes. So, I love...
So close.
It was so close. I just couldn't quite get what they had. But I'm sure eventually someone will have it. But anyway, I love my original Nike band, which is the black one with the Volt green holes on it. But I was looking for a change. I mean, I wear this one a lot. And this fit the bill perfectly. The band is $10.99 with free Prime shipping on Amazon. And you can't really beat that price. The band is now it's slightly thinner material.
I was going to ask. It's they always are
than the original Nike. It really is. And I have them side by side, and I'm like, well, there's a definite difference in how thick this band is compared to the Nike version. But I'm glad to report that it's just as comfortable. I did not notice any real difference there at all. And it's kind of neat. It comes in a lot of different color combinations, and you have the choice of two different sizes. You have the small medium or the medium large. And very important to make sure that you choose the correct size before ordering. Unfortunately, though, unlike the Nike version, this one has a stainless steel color pin, not the black one like Nike's. But
yeah, I'll bust out the Sharpie.
Don't have to, though, because okay. I have to tell you, since the holes are white, you almost don't see it anyway.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you had different colors, a combination on that band where the holes were a darker color, it might be more noticeable. But in this case, it almost disappears. I don't even hardly see it. So not much of a problem there. Also, I changed the color of my Nike watch face, the numerals, from the Volt green to, they call it bone color, or the white. So it matches the band a little bit better. So for not a lot of money, I've given my watch a completely different look and feel. And that's the latest addition to my, as I said, ever-growing band collection. But if you're looking for an alternative to the Nike version, or like me, you just want a new color or look, check this out. It's pretty cool. You can't beat it. Now, that was kind of the end of my review, and I'm looking at the box here, and I realize I didn't notice this. On the back of the box that it comes in, it says, thank you for supporting us. The item comes with a 12-month replacement warranty.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. It says, please contact us for a free replacement if you think you received a defective one. Expedited shipping for your replacement at no cost. Also, no need to return the defective item. Yeah. So very interesting. And they want, you know, they want you to review it, leave an honest review, all that kind of nice stuff. And then as I'm reading down here, there's something cool that I just now noticed. It says promotional code to thank you for your support. If you use the code, TOP, the number 4 CUSS, enter the code when you check out and you get a 10% discount.
Wow, a whole dollar off.
Yeah, so you want a dollar off there, Vincent, for your next band, you can do that. Very nice. I did not know that. Yeah.
So how's the feel? I mean, you know, I'm assuming that the Nike sport band has the same material as the Flubber band, the fluorastomer stuff versus the silicon. I mean, I don't have them side by side, but you do. I mean, is it?
It feels the same. I mean,
really?
I do not, like, other than being thinner. That's the only real difference. When you're wearing it, there is no difference at all. I mean, I wear this to bed at night like I do my other one for sleep tracking, and it's just as comfortable for that.
Yeah, they always say that there's some sort of like material in between the layers of the fluorastomer band. Maybe that's what it's missing. Maybe that's why it's not that thick.
And maybe it doesn't matter to feel. Now, maybe that will make a difference in how well it wears over time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But hey, I got 12-month replacement warranty here.
There you go.
So I got a year to abuse this and see what happens. You know, if it starts to fall apart or the, you know, they did make a note. I think it was on their Amazon webpage that they corrected the color issue. Apparently some of their colors were flaking off. I don't know what the deal was there, but maybe that's why they had the 12-month replacement.
Color flaking off of what? Isn't it like kind of embedded into the silicone?
I don't know if it is in the holes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But, and this connects to the watch directly, like the sport band. There's no lugs or anything like that. How is the fit there?
Oh, the fit's nice. A little tight getting them on, popping them in. But that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine for me. And they both locked into place. A definite, you know, you can tell when it snaps into place.
Because I've had to hang on.
I've had some even from Apple where it doesn't. You can just slide it all the way through and it never quite locks, you know.
Right.
It's not going to come off, but, you know, there's that extra little lock in there to make you feel more comfortable with it. But no, the fit's fine. I mean, I hate to say this. I mean, $11 versus 50.
Not much, yeah, 50 is a little intense there.
It is. It is for these bands. I think Apple probably should make some adjustments there.
Right.
I understand the higher prices on the more premium materials, but for this Flubber stuff, I don't know. Of course, with Nikes, you're paying for the brand as well.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, the logo's on the inside. You can't see it anyway. so anyway, check it out. It's kind of cool. What do you got, Vincent?
I have an app here that's been around for a while, I think. It's called Feedly, and that's F-E-E-D-L-Y.
Yes.
And we're just chatting. I tend to mumble, so I don't know. People are like, what? Feedly. It's an RSS aggregator. So if you were a big user of Google Reader back in the day, where you can bring all these feeds from different sources that you were following together, like news, and you were curating kind of your own magazine, this is kind of like that Flipboard where you bring in all these different topics and you're able to just kind of keep up with the news. This is a very well magazine style or list style, whatever you want to choose, iPhone app that also works on their website, Android, Kindle, iPad, iPhone, whatever, the whole nine yards. So if you create an account, you're able to kind of curate a list of RSS feeds and sites and keywords that you're following on Google. So like for me, I watch, obviously, keep an eye out for anything Apple Watch, right? It comes in as a keyword, you type it in, and then it builds the list for you. You can do a lot of outbound sharing with the articles that you have out to Facebook and Twitter on the social networks. You can even store it to Evernote so that you can read it later, that kind of thing. The UI is a little wonky. It's a little interesting to use in terms of like marking which ones you've read, swiping. It gets a little bit getting used to. Now, once you have all of that and your news feed set up, you have the option to send 3, 5, 7, or 11 of these articles to your watch. And it shows up kind of as individual cards. And as you swipe through them, you'll get to the end and you can hit mark all as read. And it will try and go out and refresh the next list of items that have not been read on your phone.
Interesting.
So you kind of get a brief snippet, like 500, the first 512 characters. If it has a picture associated with the article or the news item, it will show up, which is kind of neat because I tested it with like Ben's Bargains to see, you know, any sales on July 4th that's happening, etc. That worked great. Picture comes across. You see a little bit of the headline. I tried with my friend's blog. His pictures and stuff comes across. I tried with the Apple Watchcast RSS.
Yes.
And no.
No. What? So what?
It doesn't come across. I don't get it. So like you would expect, like, you know, the album art or something like that. And then like I was seriously hoping it would like have even a button that says go ahead and play this, right? Because that's what we have in our feed, is this play button for the audio. But no.
So no podcast.
No
podcast. Or just us. So, okay.
Yeah.
just making sure I didn't do something wrong here.
I think it's just the heavy media. Okay. Like anything that has like audio or video in it, it's not gonna display.
Okay.
I don't know. At the bottom of each of the articles on the Apple Watch is a save button. I don't know what that does. You click save. I assume that it saved the article on your watch so that you can kind of like reference it later. Now I think what it does is it flags it as saved on your phone. However, I think there's this whole weird like communications thing between the watch, the API on the phone. It doesn't really do anything. I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, I think this is a point of frustration for developers as to, you know, it gets the data from the phone. It puts it on the watch, but like for the watch to write it back to the phone, it's a whole bunch of like things that have to happen, you know? So I'm curious as to when the watch gets its own cellular data connectivity, it's going to be a whole different experience.
All these things go away then. These problems.
App developers are finally going to say, okay, fine, I'm going to back to my API and I'm going to get my feed. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have to go through the phone, you know. So I think it's going to be a game changer when that actually does happen. But Feedly, great app for like keeping up with stuff that you have curated on your phone.
Now, free app, right?
Absolutely free.
No ads?
No ads.
How are they making money?
No idea. Maybe maybe somewhere there's an ad on like the different other devices like iPad and on your desktop. But on the watch, it's ad free. On the phone, I have not seen an ad come up. But it's a really neat, really well designed interface for kind of keeping up with kind of the stuff that you're interested in.
Now, very interesting here on the side. I'm looking at this the list of it. It says free and then puts, you know, category of news, et cetera, language, all that kind of stuff. It says you must be 17 years old to download this app.
Yeah, it's one of those. Cause,
unrestricted web access.
Right.
I guess so. Just FYI. Yeah. of those 40 million feeds that it is giving you access to, there might be something there you don't want to see.
Right.
All right. Cool. Feedly.
All right.
It says get smarter. Okay.
Get smarter already.
All right. Time to move on.
The Apple Watchcast. Listener feedback.
All right. Time for listener feedback. Real quick here. I mentioned on Facebook and Twitter that when we finished last week's show, I noticed that the recording had stopped somewhere along the way, which is never a good thing. Well, we didn't lose too much. We had to re-record just a little bit. So luckily it happened pretty far into the podcast. So thanks to everyone for your concerned comments and emails. It all turned out well. It was fun, and I am obsessively looking at the screen as we do this podcast to make sure those numbers are still rolling. Our first email here is from Craig. Said it would be great if you could implement chapter markers in your podcast. Everyone's time is important. I enjoy most of your podcast, but I don't listen to the app or crap portion, mostly because time is tight and I can't afford the time to listen about an app that doesn't exist. Well, they're not all... Not all of them don't exist. I wish I could jump over it just using the chapter marker. But also like to be able to jump over reviews of apps that don't interest me, but I do enjoy the podcast overall. Thank you for your email, Craig. Chapter markers, very interesting. A little bit of research on this just to get up to speed on it because it's been a while since I looked into it. When we used to do an older podcast, we did the iPhone show and the iPad show many, many years ago. I used to do those in GarageBand, which would allow you to put in chapter markers. And we actually used to produce what is known as an enhanced podcast, where not only were we putting chapter markers in there with titles and stuff, we were putting artwork in there, images. So when you looked at the podcast, the art would change as we talked about stuff. The only issue with that was it took forever to edit and put that together. And I know that sounds like a lazy excuse, but I'm a little lazy on that. So, we would do a 45-minute podcast. It would take me over 2 hours to edit it. So that just, it was just too much time to put that in there. However, the way we produce this podcast today, unfortunately, I don't have a way of putting in chapter markers easily without a third-party app. And even then, we produce an MP3 file, not an AAC file. And technically what that means is you technically used to never be able to put chapter markers into MP3 files. Well, someone came up with a way to sort of do it now. The only problem is not every podcast client, and by client I mean the app that you listen to your podcast to on, not all of them support it. And unfortunately, the biggest one doesn't, which is podcasts from Apple and iOS, does not support, at this time, does not support chapter markers in MP3 files. So long explanation for, I'm too lazy to do it. Maybe in the future, I might figure out a way to do it. I hope that answers your question, Craig. I understand it would be more... It would be more helpful to some people, but like I said, I used to do that for a long time, and it was just I never heard the feedback of that many people who were taking advantage of it. And frankly, the podcasts I listen to now, most of them, I don't see chapter markers. For that, maybe for that reason, I don't know, or maybe they got lazy too, after doing hundreds of podcasts. But anyway, that's. That's kind of the answer to that one, Craig. Again, not something I'm ruling out. If there is a simple way to do it that I run across, and I will look into it a little bit more, I would definitely love to do it. But only if it was something that would only take 10 minutes to drop into each episode. That would be great. And then Donna here says, instead of paying to rent an Apple Watch, like we talked about that previous show from Best Buy, she said to try it out, for a week, why not just get get to use Apple's generous rental plan. She put that in quotes. They basically let you try it for free. If you get it right after your credit card billing cycle starts, you can avoid paying anything if you don't like it and return it within 2 weeks. She said, but you probably won't return it. Thanks for a great show, Donna. Wow, you really thought this through, Donna. I have a feeling you may have done this before. but you're right. You could take advantage of that, and that would go for pretty much anything Apple sells, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, laptops, iMacs, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, but that's a lot of effort setting up that kind of stuff. But yeah.
True. Well, yeah, that's true, to get it all set up. But you know, they're hoping you're just going to keep it at that point. But yeah, that's true. But, you know, the thing with Best Buy, though, it wasn't just Apple Watch. It was other things that you could try, you know, kind of rent, other types mm-hmm. of equipment, camera gear and stuff like that. But nice tip, Donna. Nice little tip. And then Robert in San Diego says, hi, guys. A while ago, I asked you if you had an idea of how long the battery would last in the first generation of Apple Watch. Well, I now have some information that may help answer that question. My wife and I bought new stainless steel watches when they first became available. They are now 2 years old, and the battery in my wife's 38mm will not make it through the day anymore. She's not a heavy user of the watch and doesn't use it during long workouts. My 42mm battery is lasting longer than hers, but mine was replaced about a year ago under the warranty. Well, I assume that the 42 is going to last a little bit longer than the 38 anyway with a larger, slightly larger battery. But he says, so before the expiration of the Apple Care, we went to the Apple store for watch checkups. I didn't know you could do this. The store technician connected the watch via Bluetooth and ran health checks on both of our watches. He showed us the results on his iPad screen, which displayed a lot of information about the watch, including the battery condition. The battery condition of my watch was just about 100%, even though I definitely see less remaining life when I put it on the charger before going to bed. My wife's battery was at about 75%, which she said is considered good for its age. Even though my wife explained that it cannot make it through the day without charging, the technician said that was normal and that he has to do that with his Generation 2 watch. So it looks like a battery replacement will be necessary soon for early purchasers who don't want to charge their watch twice per day. Robert, thank you for that email, Robert, and that information. Yeah, I mean, we talked about that when the watch first came out. It was depending on your use whether or not you got through the day with that first gen. Mm-hmm. I do know now that I have both, when I do wear the first gen, it does drain much faster. For whatever reason. Now, hopefully with the new OS coming out, that may make a difference. We don't know yet what that's going to do to battery life for the first gen, the Series 1 or the Series 2. So very interesting. I wouldn't expect a first gen to make it through the day.
Mine does.
Does it?
Well, mine's 42, but my wife says.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. It depends on use, though, doesn't it? Depends on what you're doing. I mean, if you go for long workouts and stuff, I don't think that thing's going to make it through the day. Or if it does, it's going to be pretty low by the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I go back to my theory, which is the communications. And if you have a lot of apps that are refreshing or you're using a lot of things on there, you might want to like start removing apps that you don't use that might be communicating back. I don't know whether or not they do when they're asleep, but... you know, like you said, it's about usage.
Yeah, it really is because, I mean, even with the Series 2 watch that I have, I'm telling you right now, workouts drain your battery. They just do.
Yeah.
I started this morning at 100% battery, taking off the charger, and went through a long workout this morning. And as of now, we're about halfway through not even halfway through the day, we're at noon or so, I'm at 63%. So that workout chewed up a bit of battery life. Now, the rest of the day, it'll probably be fine. I'll probably end the day, you know, at, you know, maybe 40%. So that gives you an idea, at least on the Series 2, how much the workout taxes your battery, drains it quite a bit. But yeah, 2 years of charging, draining the battery, charging, draining the battery. It's gonna lose some of that capacity, is it not?
Right. So did the Apple Genius tell you whether or not there was an option to replace the battery and update it, depending on the condition? I'm curious.
Yeah, he didn't say here whether or not that was the case. Now, he replaced his from the warranty. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's because he got the screen pop-up,
yeah,
so to speak, mm-hmm. where the battery expanded. But what I thought was most interesting here from Robert is that you can go in and get a checkup mm-hmm. on your battery. Mm-hmm. Kind of cool. So I would recommend you do that before your AppleCare runs out, if you have it extended or whenever you purchase your watch. That's a good idea. Yeah, may have to do that. So thank you for that, Robert. And then Drew says, as if being an Apple WatchCast patron isn't reward enough, the mug I got from you is the perfect size for the K-cups in my new Keurig coffee maker. True. Nice, Drew. Okay, I'm glad that fits perfect. I don't have a Keurig. I actually have a Tassimo, and it's the same way. I use the Apple WatchCast coffee mug. It's just perfect for one of those cups. Perfect size.
Cool.
Works great. So become a patron. You can get one of those mugs.
You're going to have to update the logo font there.
Oh, you mean with the new OS?
Yes.
That's still an option. It's still an option. Okay. What do you want to do? A list view version of our logo? That would not be good.
And they're killing the swarm thing, right? In the next... the next iteration.
They're not killing it. They're just giving you an option to not see the grid mode.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I would still leave it in grid mode just because. Anyway, thank you for all your emails, tweets, reviews, and ratings. Send us an email or leave us a review on iTunes and we'll try to read it here on the show. We really do love to hear from you. If you haven't yet, please take a moment and leave us a review or even just a rating in iTunes. It helps keep us kind of on the radar, if you will, to find new listeners. That's how they can find us. The more reviews we get, the higher the ranking there, so that we just pop up and are visible. So check that out. Any last words before we dock this week into nightstand mode?
We still recording?
Yes, we are.
Good.
The numbers are still moving, so that's a good thing. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. As I said before, if you'd like to support the show, get a little something in return, you can become a patron of the Apple WatchCast. Check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Select whatever level you'd like to subscribe to for as little as $1 a month. And as we mentioned, you can get some really cool stuff for subscribing. It doesn't cost a lot and helps us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on each and every show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes, and again, don't forget to post a review while you're there. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com, and we'll try to address it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
And we're still recording.
Woohoo!
Yay! I love it when it works. I won't have to re-record anything. That's nice.